Blog Talk Radio.
To the show. This is Wardell Potts Jr. listening to Solar Records Radio, and what a blessing it is to be here and to be able to do this show with you guys and talk about Solar and the blessings that we all got from, you know, the music that came out of this record company that really was amazing and wonderful, and you know, and how it affected us in our own walks, right, individually. So I'm so grateful to be able to have this opportunity to do this, and I thank God for that every single day as we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. I even named my radio station Solar Records Radio, because the legacy is so powerful, and it's such a beautiful blessing to me and my family, that I wanted to make sure that I let everyone know where my heart is, and my heart is with Solar. And I feel so blessed because of what Dick Griffey, Leon Silvers did for me by opening up the door and giving me the opportunity to be the drummer that was playing on so many different records. And I can't even, I mean, I don't even have all the, you know, the gold and platinum plaques that we did. And it's something that, you know, I'm not sure if, I don't know why I don't have them. I notice, I see my friend Earl Young has all these records from Philly International all over his walls. And I was like, wow, maybe I should get mine too. The only reason why I would want them is for my grandchildren, you know, and my children to be able to say, well, that's who your dad was to my grandkids, and this is what he's done, you know. But not for me, not for my, I don't need that. I'm just grateful, and I'm appreciative, and I'm happy that that God saw fit for me to have that opportunity, as my friend Tony Westcott so eloquently explained to me, as he was the one that was offered the opportunity initially by Leon Silvers, and he passed it on to me. And I said, wow, Tony, it's crazy. I feel like crazy that you didn't do this, because you would have been the one, you know, playing on all these records. And he said to me, Wardell, it wasn't meant for me. It was meant for you. And so, you know, he says, I'm happy. I'm happy that, you know, I was the one that gave this opportunity to you. And so, you know, Tony is gone now, so rest in peace, my brother. I love you and miss you and appreciate you and Terrence Floyd for bringing this opportunity to me to be a part of Solar Records and be a part of the history of Solar Records, to have played on so many records that I had no idea how many records I played on. That's just at Solar. After that, it went on and on and on, but just at Solar, it was just overwhelming, because Leon was a studio rat, and he didn't know how to come out of the studio. I mean, he did not come out of the studio. We literally lived in the studio. And so, and that was because of who Dick Griffey was. He was trying to make sure that he launched his label off, his new label, after leaving Soul Train Records and starting Solar Records. He wanted to make sure that he did everything he needed to do to make this thing take off. So with that being said, let's hear from the chief and see what he says about it.
I'm interested in is really teaching young people how to be in business for themselves.
Richard Gilbert, Dick Griffey, grew up in the J.C. Napier housing projects on Nashville's South Side. Mr. Griffey attended Tennessee State University for a semester before joining the Navy at age 17 and landing in Los Angeles in the 1960s, where he became part owner in the nightclub Guys and Dolls. Once word spread about Griffey's professional treatment of recording artists like Ike and Tina Turner and Isaac Hayes, he was soon booking national tours for major stars like James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, and Stevie Wonder. This earned him the title Kingpin of Soul Promoters and a job as talent coordinator for the television show Soul Train. Mr. Griffey and the show's producer, Don Cornelius, partnered to create Soul Train Records in 1975, which became Sound of Los Angeles Records, or Solar, in 1977 with Griffey as owner. Within 3 years, Solar artists were topping the soul charts and impacting the pop market, leading the Los Angeles Times to name Griffey as the most promising new black music executive of 1980. Griffey would assemble a stable of artists, musicians, and engineers that produced a string of hits so impressive, Solar became known as the Motown of the 80s. Mr. Griffey would extend his influence into the 1990s by mentoring songwriting duo Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Antonio L.A. Reed, who would go on to found LaFace Records.
Right now, we want you to get your hands together, and we're going to start your party. Let's welcome Solar Recording Artists. Solar Recording Artists.
We'll be right back. Let me see your dress. Yeah.
Yeah, we are moving.
This is a great solo, and I love it, and I hope you are too. Come on, guys. Keep on moving. Keep on moving.
That's what Solar was all about, giving us that lovely music. And it was all about love. If you listen to the lyrical content that came from those songs, from the artists, and the passion was there, the drive was there, the company was there, the people that needed to be there was pushing and doing, everybody was doing their part to make this company launch the way that it did. And man, oh man, oh man, did it ever. And how blessed were we all to be a part of such a wonderful unit. The ones that have passed on, including the CEO, Mr. Dick Griffey himself, we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you did. Thanks for blessing us and helping us to become this great legacy in music. The sound of Los Angeles Records, Solar, is by far an amazing opportunity and an amazing gift to the music industry. So thank you so much for all that you guys have done, and for the ones that are still here, that are out there doing their thing, promoting and still, you know, doing shows and stuff. Much love to you guys, and thank you for keeping the legacy alive. We are so blessed because of what you guys do. Midnight Star is out there knocking the doors down. Climax is doing their thing. Dynasty is not doing, and Dynasty is actually releasing records and stuff, still releasing records because of Mr. Dick Griffey, because of Leon Silvers, because of all of those songs and stuff that we all put together from Dynasty and made that group a legacy group. And so, and that's Dynasty's contribution at this point. They're still releasing records because of what happened back in the 70s and the 80s. So thank you guys so much. Lakeside, still putting out records and still out there performing and just doing it right. We're so proud of them as well. Of course, the Whisperers, 56 years in the industry. Are you kidding me? 56 years, that is absolutely amazing. And they were the leaders of the pack. They kind of ran, they started this label off with such an amazing drive and stuff. Between them and Shalimar, how blessed we were that, you know, those two groups were just hitting it. And Shalimar was crossing over to the pop department and was just blessing us in that way. And the Whispers was just, it became the legacy R&B group. I mean, they just laid it down, and everybody, I thought they were from Philadelphia. I thought that was my home group. You know, I was all, you know, when I was a young man growing up, I was like, the Whispers, yeah, because they love the Whispers so much in Philadelphia. I thought that was one of our groups. But anyway, they are from L.A. And so much love to the Whispers and all the other groups that I didn't even mention. Just to, what an amazing legacy that Dick Griffey created. So thank you so much, Mr. Griffey, for everything that you do. And we love you and appreciate you. It's time to slow it down just a tad because, whoa, man, oh, man, we have been rocking and rolling. So there you go. Slow it down. I owe you one. That's Shalamar. I owe you one. I'm going to slow it down right now here on Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr., and we're going to feature Miss Linda Carrier. This is called You're My Angel. We'll be back. Such a beautiful song, Miss Linda Carrier there. We're featuring her on Dynasty. And we have our brother, Mr. Don Fleming. What's up, Don?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, I really enjoyed, I played the a Solar mix earlier, and it just went on and on, and it was just hitting hard, and it was beautiful. And it reminded me of all of those good times in the studio. And 90% of the songs, maybe 95% of the songs that played, I was the drummer on. And so it's just drives me absolutely crazy. Of course, my brother Fred Alexander from the original Lakeside was playing on the Lakeside stuff. You know, I don't get to do that. I didn't get to do that, but, you know, but it was just, it was so good just to hear, you know, all these songs by the Whispers and Shalimar and Dynasty and Kerry Lucas and Lakeside and Midnight Star. It just all was just interjecting in and out, and it was just beautiful, man. And so it just, it makes me really realize the power, the powerful impact that we had, because the songs that we heard were not just songs that we did. The songs that we heard for 18 minutes straight, I mean 18 minutes straight, and we only heard like about maybe a minute at the most of each song.
Right.
They were all hits. They were all hits. I was like, all those songs were on the radio. They weren't B-sides, C-sides. They were A singles. And
yeah.
It just, I'm like, wow. Man, Dick was working, boy. He was working this thing. And we were working in the studio. Leon worked us to death because he was being worked to death. And he liked that. He still, he hasn't changed. He's still the same way. So it is just,
yeah.
It's a legacy of Solar. It's just absolutely amazing. But, you know, I know when you clicked in and you heard your girl, Linda Carrier, singing in the background. You hear her right there. Right?
I had to call Linda Joe. Soon as I heard her sing,
no, man,
that voice is just,
yeah,
voice is just amazing, man, for real, man. And I'm, you know, I am blessed and honored to be called a friend and to call her my friend. So and you got, and definitely you, brother. But yeah, man, I'm just, you know, it just puts a, like a warm cackle in my heart when I hear all of these songs I grew up listening to, and the fact that I am co-hosting these shows with you and partnering up with you, you know, it's just, you know, it's a surreal experience, man. And again, Fridays is the day we celebrate and we honor and we appreciate, you know, Sounds of Los Angeles Records. Of course, you telling the stories, being there, for me being a fan that grew up listening to the music, I mean, it's just to be a part of it now, I mean, man, it's just a dream come true.
Oh, man, it's all good, man. We, you know, it's all about family, man, and we have a wonderful family here, an extended family of Solar Records. We have Solar Records Radio, the extended family, with you and Greg and Astrid, myself, and we're going to and T. Meyer from Lakeside and Phoenix, and, you know, so we have an extended family thing. That from Solar, that we are keeping the legacy alive here on this station. I mean, look, the station is called Solar Records. Solar Records Radio.
Yeah.
So we are truly dedicated to keeping the legacy of Solar alive and stuff. And we, and our listeners and people that support us is our family as well. And so we, you know, we're doing it right, man. And you know what? Guess what's happening, man? We are going into the summertime. We're going into summer, and that's when all the block parties start happening. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
You know about block parties? You do, huh?
Come on now. Come on now.
So yeah, you know, they bring the, they cut the block off, and they get the water hydrant going, and the kids are playing in the water. It's like 80, 90 degrees outside. It is hot out there, and we all playing in the Delta, you know, got the barbecue grills going and stuff, and then there's a band in the middle of the street. Oh, man, just jamming the live bands, doing their things. And then, you know, when sometimes it's hard to get bands and stuff, and so people all up and down the street are just jamming some good old school music. And so that, I'm looking forward to the summertime, because I love those days when we could just be innocent and have a wonderful time and not worry about the craziness that we have to deal with on everyday basis and stuff. I think our parents and stuff was really excited about that too.
Yeah.
Man. So, Mr. Fleming, you know, see, I'm excited, man. I always get excited. And, you know, I hear Jody Watley singing in the background here. Y'all remember this song, Work It Out? You remember this song, Don?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, you know, and I recorded it. I had so much fun. You know, it's like some of the songs that you think, you know, when you're recording, you don't know. You have no idea. You just go in the studio, and it's like bare bones. And, okay, what's the drum beat going to be? Okay, what's the guitar part going to be? Okay, what's the keyboard part going to be? And everything, you know, starts at the very bottom. And, you know, and so we were real fortunate to have an amazing chef in the kitchen by the name of Mr. Leon Silvers III. And he was able to start, okay, I like that, I like that, and start bringing all the parts and stuff together to create this sound, to create the Solar sound. And man, isn't it something how you just never know when you're in something that's going to be something? You're just a willing participant, and then all of a sudden it just happens. Like, whoa, really? That really just happened?
I mean, it's highly disrespectful to say, to use this in the context to say, oh, well, I was on automatic pilot, because, you know, the way Leon kind of just taught us and you know, you guys are kind of, it was more uniform. It was kind of a, not saying it was a, like a military atmosphere, but the fact that you guys can be on automatic pilot to automatically know what's going on, you know, and what he may wanted, what he may have wanted, you know, on certain projects, man. It just, it's to me, to carry that into A&M Records and so on, and then to go to South Africa, all of that expertise that you, you know, you pretty much laid out was from his teachings. And I mean, it's just, to me, that's just, you know, you took it worldwide, man.
Wow.
And it's an amazing thing, yeah.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, man. And, you know, and we're going to keep on doing this. We're going to keep on having a good time. And I have some feelers out right now to a couple of my friends. And so you just never know who's going to call in. So what I want you guys to do is just kick back, relax, and go down memory lane with us and enjoy this music that we did with Solar. And have a good time with
us. There it is.
Thanks for tuning in. There it is. Right there. There it is. All right. Here we go, guys. We'll be back.
There it is. What took us so long to find each other, baby? It feels so good.
my belly's empty and my brain is numb. Before they notice me, seems like I've got to do wrong. Before they notice me. Nobody saw me walking, and
Man, oh man, I tell you, the Silvers, man, we had so much fun working on that album at Solar with the Silvers. It was so much fun, and you know, y'all heard Charmaine Silvers yesterday. If you tuned into the show yesterday, Charmaine came on and she shared some of the stories at the Silvers, inside stories, the stories inside the stories, as she was sharing with us, and it was beautiful just to hear, you know, her point of view, and as being one of the older sister, you know, just making sure everything and everybody was okay, how she just blessed that family, even made the uniforms and stuff for, you know, when they were having budget problems, and because they had decided to go with a different company, and so they were having problems because there was no budget, and so she made the uniforms for Boogie Fever for the video, for Boogie Fever and for their performances and stuff. And so, and she was just a young girl, teenager, right? And she was doing everything she had to do to make sure that she was like the mama and the daughter. She was the mama, the daughter, and you know, she was mama and her, you know, mothering her brothers and sisters and stuff, and just doing everything that she could to be a good sister. And at the same time, a good daughter, and she really blessed her family. And like I said yesterday, when she came on, I was so nervous because she's like my big sister too, you know. And I was talking to her this morning, and I was just sharing with her, you know, that Greg said, and so she's like, okay. So, but she's sharing more songs and stuff with me that they did, but anyway, it was just so good to chop it up with her yesterday, and we are so grateful for her to come on and share, because she could have been on the show today as well, but you know, yesterday was the day that she chose, and so be it. And anyway, much love to all the Solar family, much love to all my friends around the world, and we're praying for Ukraine as always, and we will not stop until they stop. And so we're so on point with what we need to do, and we're just praying, you know, that God just, you know, helps to put this thing to an end and let those people have their lives back and their homes back, you know, and the ones that lost their lives, it's just so sad. I don't even have any words for that part. And I'm just sad. I'm sad. And I see these graves and stuff, and it breaks my heart, you know? You know, we just got to stay strong. You know, the ones that of us that are still here, you know, and when I'm talking about us, I mean the Ukrainians, you know, you guys stay strong, that you're still here, and just do your best to be your best, and take care of your babies, and you know, protect them and shelter them as much as possible from this terrible situation, that it doesn't cause them to, you know, go the wrong way because of this craziness that's happened to them. And just uprooted them right out of their homes. But anyway, God bless you guys. And thanks again for being a part of Solar Records Radio. We got about 56 minutes left in the show. And I'm so grateful. I'm enjoying this music. And I hope you are too. Man, I want to sing. Watch out. I can't sing, but I want to so badly. Have you ever had that? Like you really want to sing, but you can't sing? It's just wrong. You know, these singers get to get up there and express themselves verbally. You know, I mean, other musicians like myself, we get on the drums or the guitars or the bass, and we get to express ourselves too. But to actually be able to sing it, woo, man, I want to let you know I am grateful for the gifts that God has given me. You know, but I still like the other ones. You know, I bought a violin, right? You see, I have a violin, and I'm trying to learn how to play that thing. I love instruments. I love just doing different things. I just don't want to be locked into one particular thing. So anyway, let's keep this music going on Solar Records Radio. As I think, and I you know, I want to find that hot spot. You know, I want to find that hot spot so we can just, this is the weekend. This is the beginning of the solar weekend. So let us help you get ready to party here and get down with us here on Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. So come on, guys, loosen up. Let's get ready for the weekend on Solar.
Hot wings.
So beautiful, so beautiful. That's Climax, guys. And, you know, we only got about 38 minutes left in the show, but I want to do something special for you. I love, love, love the fact that, you know, we had that opportunity yesterday with Charmaine Silvers, you know, just the big sister. The big sister of the group, Olympia, it was the oldest though. And but Charmaine came in and she just, you know how women do, they just take over and they just start doing. And so, but anyway, I just want to remember that interview from yesterday, which was great. And thank you, Charmaine Silvers, for being a blessing to the music industry and your family and to us, the world. We love you. All right. Song so much. I've always loved that song as a young man, and I am so blessed because right now we have one of the singers from the group, the Silvers. What's up, Charmaine Silvers?
Hello, hello.
I sound so excited, don't I? You know, I am. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You're such a beautiful spirit. And
thank you.
Yeah, you know, God made you that way, and we get to enjoy that part of you. And so thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us today. We've been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks now. So here you are, finally got you here. Oh, my God. What are your thoughts about that song when you hear that high school dance song? What are your thoughts?
One of my favorites. It is. My favorite line in that song is, when we turn the lights down. I love that.
Why do you think you love that part so much?
I don't know. I think it's the down.
and it has
so much feeling.
Right. Yeah. And so listen, there's so much to talk about, and I know you're going to tell us the story inside the story. There's some amazing stories that happened in your life with your family. Man, with your family, that is so cool. And but just, you know, I mean, just the reiteration of, you know, being on this, you guys performed this song how many times? I mean, the energy on that song, and I mean, I can't imagine. It just seems like the song. Like, we got to do this right now. And so, when you recorded in the studio, was it just as much fun for you guys, or was it like, okay, this is the serious part? Or was it on the stage like, we really got to be serious here? I mean, because Leon has always been intense to me, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's, how was that for you guys? Working in the studio versus on stage.
It was always fun.
Really?
Working in the studio, yeah, because we were young, so we played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We had to make ourselves knuckle down and be serious when it was time to be serious. And so we always had fun in the studio. It was never now. Fun fact, well, it wasn't much fun for me, but I always had a cold whenever I did.
That's weird.
Every single album, if you really listen closely, it sounds like I'm singing like, you know,
nasal. But, you know, even if I wanted to really listen closely, you know, I would not be able to hear that, because you guys sound, your harmonies are like, they're like angels. You guys sound like little angels. And that was actually the name of your group, right, when you started?
When we were little, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Freddie Perren showed us something that was amazing. We were singing, I think it was, I don't remember which song it was, but we were singing something. And Freddie Perren, he recorded it, and he asked us to come in to the booth. And so we did. We thought we did something wrong. And he started playing the song, and he said, now look at the meters. Because he purposely mic'd us separately so he could do this test. And he said, and we were like, yeah. I mean, it didn't mean anything to us. And he said, look at your meter. He said, I didn't adjust anything. Your volume, you guys corrected on your own, and the meters looked identical for every single one of us. And I thought, he was a Christian, and he told us that means you are definitely anointed. That's the God voice. And I thought that was really special. I did. I thought it was special.
That's wow. That's wow. So
yeah.
I mean, man, thank you for sharing that. so how old were you guys? Well, I shouldn't say you guys, because it's all different ages. How old were you when you guys first went into the studio and started recording?
I was, let's see, was I 14 or 15? No, I had to have been 13. No, I was 14, because it happened pretty fast. We went into the studio and we started recording. First we went to MGM. They liked us. They hooked us up with a manager the next week. He got us in Vegas, which was just a few months later. And we were in the studio in between all of that. And it happened pretty darn fast. Very fast. It was so fast that I think in the beginning it scared some of the members of the family. It definitely scared my mom.
Mm-hmm. She's like, whoa, wait a minute. This is my baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but all your life, right, you guys knew something was happening because you, before you even got, you know, presented to these companies, you guys were singing already. You guys were doing this thing. So,
Did,
I mean, I guess you're so young, you're like thinking, okay, we're just having fun at the house.
Basically what happened is we were living in the Nickerson Gardens projects, and they were having budget cuts in the school district in our area, and they canceled the security guards. I'll never forget our security guard named Mr. Tech. He was the main one. I loved Mr. Tech. He was so on it. The school was always in order. No, but there were no fighting. And when they cut the budget and cut the security guards, kids started bringing drugs. They started bringing guns. It was getting pretty rough. Mm-hmm. And since we were all fighters, because we're a big family, you know, you mess with one, you mess with all.
Right.
We decided, you know what, we better, because we knew we could sing. We said, we better find a company, start singing so we can get out of the projects, because it was getting rough. We knew it was going to get rough.
Mm.
So that's what we did. Leon has started writing songs. That's what we did.
Okay. Wow.
It was like an avalanche from the time we made the decision collectively. Then it was like the my analogy is the bullet train. You jump on the bullet train and it's going.
We're up and out of here. Got to go. But listen, this even goes back even further. Because your parents started out. Your mom went to college where your mom and dad met, and your mom was in college for music, right?
Yes, she was. She was an opera singer. Very, very, very good opera singer. It's I can't even describe to you how good she is. This is how good she was. She sang at Leon's first wife, who naturally they were divorced. She was getting remarried. And so she was singing at the wedding, and she was singing Ave Maria. Leon walked in right when Mommy was singing, and he came to me. He said, "That's a great recording." I said, "That's not a recording. That's your mom." He looked up at the front, and it looked like his mouth was going to drop.
Because the intonation was on. That's what it probably was. Oh. He's like, wow, that is
perfect.
Great. Perfect pitch. Wow.
Perfect.
Man, that's so good. And your dad was going to school to be a doctor, but he was pushing the music thing. How did that happen? Did mom, you know, get him to do, how did he just jump into the music thing?
Because he was born with the ear. He didn't have the fantastic voice like my mom, but what a ear he had. And he sat us down and started teaching us harmony. Back then, the songs on the radio were like Frank Sinatra songs and songs like Blue Moon. There are a bunch of songs, but if you listen to those, the harmony is very intricate. And we started singing with him when we were like ages 3, 4, 5, and 6. He heard us. We used to turn our mattresses over, and if you hit the box spring, the old wooden box springs, it sounded like drums. So we used to drum on the box springs, and we used to sing, I'll never forget, one of my favorite songs when we were little kids was Laura Scudder's at a potato chip commercial with harmony. And it was like, Laura Scudder's big brand potato chips, best potato chips in the world. And we did like four-part harmony as little kids, and our dad heard us. And that's when he started working on it. And for us, it wasn't any big deal because we were doing it in the bedroom all the time. But for him, it must have been a shock because we were toddlers. And so he was mesmerized. I think it started the rocky bumpiness in their marriage because he seemed to get more interested in us singing than his own career, you know?
Oh, boy.
Well,
he realized that, hey, something special happening with these kids.
He did. Yeah.
So, but anyway, and so as far, when you said he had that air, right, that special gift, I understand that James had that special gift as well.
Jonathan.
Harmony. Because Leon is saying, like, this little kid, how does he remember my part? But
he did. He really did.
Can you tell us any stories about James and his air?
Whenever we would, for instance, when Leon would write songs, he would usually come and we'd all sit down and he played the bass. And he'd have his melody worked out, even sometimes before he had lyrics. And we would all sit down and we would start singing parts. And sometimes we would just come up with the parts on our own. It was like we were inspired. And there were six of us because Ricky would sit down too. And it's not that common to come up with a fifth or a sixth part when you're doing harmony. And whenever there was that addition that would just make you go, ooh, that was Jonathan. Jonathan would come up with a part. We'd all do. I usually had the high notes. Alan was kind of in the middle, and then everyone else would fill in. And Jonathan would just throw in a part that just nobody else heard but him. And once he would come up with it, it was so awesome. It was really awesome. Alan occasionally would do that too.
Really?
Yeah, we were practicing a take six song. He Never Sleeps. And I don't know if you know that song. It's harder than some of the stuff we ever did.
Wow.
And while we were practicing, Olan came up with this part that even the Take Six guys didn't have. And that, oh my God.
That is so cool. What drives me crazy about you guys is harmonies. Yeah, I've never heard anyone do harmonies like you guys did, I didn't just hear it like as a whole, like everybody's doing, or like you hear it on a record, you hear all the harmonies. I heard it individually broken down and built up, that was a real eye opener for me, and it really shocked me. It showed me that I know nothing about music like I think I do. When I saw you guys in the studio and you were singing the harmonies, and guys, I'm telling you, I am not making this up. And to the listeners, listen, this is real. These guys would start off in one place in this, or with their notes, like your part is like maybe down here in the unison part, and all of a sudden you end up way up in, I mean, how do you move from, you know, from doing a, from, I shouldn't say unison, but I mean like a, you may be you got the baritone parts and you got the, you know, the different harmony parts and stuff. But if you start down there and you end up in a soprano or first soprano or second soprano, how does that not interfere with the other kids that are singing? Other singers that are singing, how does that not interfere and cause you guys to crash and burn? I don't understand
because that's the ear. That's the ear. You have to have an ear for it. My daughter, my middle daughter, Tina, she has that ear, and she used to try to sing some of the songs that she heard us singing, especially Because by the Beatles. We used to sing that one, and she tried to get some of her friends who were in the music class to sing the parts. And the minute a second person would start singing, their voice would travel to the other person's part. They couldn't stay on their own part.
Right, right.
And she said she didn't know that not everybody could sing harmony. And we didn't know it either, because we had been doing it since we were little kids. But then as we got older, we realized you have to have the ear. That's where the ear comes in, because you have to be able to hear your part, hear everybody else's part. And then in our case, sometimes we had a fifth and a sixth part, which is – that's when you start getting into music theory, because most people – they only sing four-part harmony, three or four at the most. And, it was actually a conundrum for us, too, because being born with it, you don't realize that it's a gift,
wow.
You know, unless someone outside points it out to you.
Yeah, like me. I'm
yeah.
telling you, that was ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, it was like I was, when you say, I say seen, because I was there watching them, and they were just going from, you know, one place to another, and they're crossing each other and going from soprano down to alto. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Why didn't you, like, crash, you know, have an accident somewhere? Why didn't somebody say, hold on, you got to hold on to your notes. Stay on your own notes. I don't understand why that did not happen. It just drives me crazy. And it was, like, it was so
yeah.
smooth and so beautiful. And at the when,
yeah.
when you realized you had that gift, that you were born with that ear, did it make you feel, like, Or was it just like, well, the whole family has a gift, so it is normal? I mean, did it make you feel different?
It did. I appreciated it. Now, Patrice Rushen, she
right.
went on the road with us for a while, and she pointed out to me something that I never even noticed. She said, you know, you have perfect pitch. And I didn't know. And I was like, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah,
I really
okay.
didn't know what she was talking about. And she pointed it out. She said, you guys always start the song yesterday before the band starts playing, and they don't give me a note, because I was the one that started out with yesterday.
Oh,
and that was a cappella. And then the band, but she said, since you always pick the band, can just come right in. Because they came in halfway through the song. And
wow.
I thought about that later, and I was like, oh, I never noticed that.
Can I get an extra, a little extra
see,
money for that?
It takes a pro to point it out.
yes. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so good. So why don't you just, I mean, I know I just like hit you with so much stuff. And then I have questions from overseas too that are coming in. And so I want you to just tell us what you want to tell us about your time with your family growing up in this amazing group.
Well, the thing that I'm the most proud of is our first album with Capitol Records, the Boogie Fever album, the costumes, I made them, and it took me 48 hours, and I had a $100 budget.
That's it.
And I made everything from top to bottom, because we went through some financial struggles. My mom was having a disagreement with our manager at the time. We were still kind of young, so we didn't understand it.
Right.
So that meant everything was frozen, even our money. So what I did is I got shoes that the guys could dance in. I glittered them. I glittered my shoes, Alain's shoes, and Angie Pat, actually everybody, because it was all nine of us at the time. And I made the clothes for everybody. I didn't have time to finish because they sprung it on us. They said Capitol Records wants to do this shoot on this day. And that was actually 2 days from the time, no, it was 3 days from, and we had nothing. I mean, seriously, nothing. And so I thought, okay, fine, because I was a seamstress, and a lot of people didn't know that. I've been sewing since I was in seventh grade. You know, they have homemaker classes and that kind of thing in school, so I chose sewing. So I was a seamstress. And so that's what I did. I went downtown. I got bolts of fabric. I matched everything up. I got the trim. And I just went to work. And they actually told me at Capitol they thought that was the best photo shoot that they had seen out of all of the Silver's pictures. And I kind of agreed. I felt so proud of myself. I was like, I did that. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
It came out really, really good. Yeah.
Thanks, Charmaine. Silver is from the Silvers coming on and just sharing a story about the family. And that was from yesterday, but I just wanted you guys, the ones that didn't get to hear it, to hear, you know, how beautiful, how sweet and informational Charmaine was. And so due to Greg's persistence in regards to having a part two, we are going to have a part two of Charmaine. And there's actually more to that part. If you want to go to what I just played, there's more to that. You can go on to into our archives. We just did the show Throwback Thursday yesterday, and you'll be able to hear the whole interview. That was just part of it that I just wanted to share with you guys, so you can hear her beautiful spirit and just the wisdom, and just she's just a good girl. And we love her and appreciate her here at Soul Out Records Radio. So, yeah, we look forward to chopping it up with her some more. And maybe we'll get Leon on here one of these days, right? And but anyway, guys, so I just want to thank you again for hanging out with us today on Soul Out Records Radio. And we appreciate you and love you. And we just pray that you have a blessed and beautiful weekend, all right? And this is Dynasty in the background. It's still a thrill. All right, guys. Love you. Thanks, Greg, for everything you've done. Thanks, Astrid. I love you guys. Have a blessed weekend, everybody. Good night.
Mm-hmm.